Good day, friends. It's the 13th of May, and it looks again to be a beautiful day ahead of us. Cool mornings, cool evenings. The days are getting a little shorter, but the sunlight and warmth are beautiful. Each day brings us a fresh reminder of God's unique creation and of his character and of transformation in different ways. And we want to be transformed by the Word of God. So we come together to continue reading through Exodus. But before we do, hit pause and contemplate God's love and prepare yourself to listen and to heed him. We pick up the story in the end of Exodus 19. The children of Israel have been freed from Egypt and slavery. They've come to the foot of Mount Sinai. God has put a boundary so that they may understand and revere him, and that he may come and make his presence on the earth and meet with them, and he's chosen Moses as his mouthpiece, a man who originally failed but has been righteous in obedience, even though he's a man with many flaws. God has worked to purify him and called him to meet with him. He's gone up the mountain once and come back down, taken Aaron and Joshua up with him. And now he gives the oracles, the words, what it is to follow him to the children of Israel, that what we know as the Ten Commandments. The most profound set of words that have reframed this nation, but also much of the globe. Exodus 19, verse 25, and into chapter 20. So Moses went down to the people and told them, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but show loving to thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall bear labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your maidservant or male servant, your animals, nor any foreign in your towns. For the 6 days the Lord made the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I reckon we'll stop there. We'll pick up the other six commandments or oracles tomorrow. Well, there's a lot in these first four which are focused heavenward, focused towards the character of God and His holiness and His power and His otherness than anything on earth or in the human thinking. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. So firstly, God sets who He is. You know, why should these people follow anyone? It wasn't just in a vacuum He gave these commands. He gave them because of His great revelation to them. And He uses the term the Lord there, your God. The Lord meaning the one who is worthy of worship. And God, the lowercase in this sense of God, the uppercase, the one who's creator, El, who brought things into being. I am the Lord Yahweh, the one who you've seen and known. So the first verse, before you hear any of the commands, is God identifying with who He is, His personal name, and what He's done for them. So he has a right to lay before them. It's not just something that they've created or thought of in their own mind or invented or stumbled upon. He has actually proven himself to them. Firstly, no other gods before me. Well, in a world where there's the God of wind and the God of rain and the God of sun, all these things that they would have known and watched and given some credit to, God Yahweh makes it clear that they aren't the origin of life. Don't put anything up before me. And then the next one is, don't make a graven image or an idol. So something that you can fashion. Why bow down to something that you can fashion? And don't bow down to something that is in creation that you have no understanding of. Don't use His name or hold any curse or statements, for you don't know who this person and His power to use His name, because His name identifies who He is and His character. So don't misuse His being and His name, and to rest in Him. I wonder if the Lord, while giving these commands, had in mind what was soon to happen, that is the golden calf was beginning to take place as they were up the mountain and down below. God makes it very clear of His holiness and not to take that for granted. And we soon to see the first event that God would keep His statements. And many of them lost their lives as a result of bowing down to the golden calf and refused to be holy to the Lord only. So there's some wonderful statements about the character and the person and the name and the resting in God, the Creator, calling Himself Yahweh. And we should revere these things, take them seriously. And we know that God Himself came in Christ and showed Himself, revealed His words and His character, and demonstrated the way to rest in Him. So the people of Israel were, in some sense, were preparing all of us to see the character of God come in the flesh, in Christ. So let's take seriously these words, these first four, to begin to focus on Him, our Creator. resting intentionally, understanding his name and his creative power, and giving him credit for all that we see around us. Because, as the verse, chapter 20, verse 2 says, he is the one who brought us out of slavery, and in Christ we have been brought out of slavery to sin and out of the punishment of the years and eternity to come. So because of those great events of love for us, we would want to obey him. And I think this is a good thought to be reminded of. These statements of paradigms can't be placed over or to pressure people into them who have no understanding of God, who loves, who brings us out of slavery, who rescues us. But we do know that these are foundational laws that are good for society. We'll talk more about the rest of the six tomorrow, but may you know the character, the person who has rescued you, and therefore we want to set aside any other worship or make anything worthy of bowing down, or to speak his name with reverence and to rest in him. May that be our intention, because he loves us. God bless, friends. I won't read a proverb out today. I've spoken enough. Talk to you on Friday.